is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am Jeff Smith, the Rogue announcer, and this is Rogue Talk for October 6th, 2017. And I thank you for joining us today. And we've got what we call a potpourri show today. I don't have a featured interview. We will be talking to the Rogue Talk mascot a little later on in the show. He'll be calling in, and we're gonna talk to him about the Rogue River Chieftains super fans and all of the things that they've been doing to support the sports at the high school. And in fact, they had another event going on during the volleyball game last night. And so we're going to talk about that and talk about what they're doing tonight at the football game and all of those kinds of things. So it'll be fun to have Cameron back on air. Unfortunately, he won't be in the studio with me, but we will get him on the phone a little later. And we had also hoped to have a short interview with a representative from the Rogue River Fire District. We weren't able to make that happen, but I do have some information for you here about their community fair, so we'll talk about that a little bit. And of course, we've got all the Chieftain sports to talk about. We'll do that in the last segment of the show. And I don't know about you folks, but you know, some days you feel like you need to have about three of you, and this is one of those days for me. I literally walked in the door as the news was ending, and it was a good thing that I did. We've been having some computer issues, and the news ended, and you may have noticed there was just a little bit of dead air there, and I was able to take care of that, but we're going to be digging in a little deeper to find out what's going on with that, because that's been something that's been a bit of a bug in the sauce here for us at the station. So, but it's been one of those crazy days. And in fact, when this show gets over, I'm gonna make a beeline to Grants Pass because I'm in the middle of buying a car because mine was damaged beyond repair and nobody was hurt, but We'll ask the Rogue Talk mascot about that, see if he has anything to tell us about that. But seriously, going to rush over there, try and finish up on a purchase of a used car, and then I got to get out to the high school in time for tonight's football game. And I got a phone call on my way over to the studio. I believe I've confirmed that we will have a color announcer for tonight's game, and hopefully he'll hang with it and want to do it for the rest of the season, and which is at least a couple more games after tonight. And so we'll be introducing him on the football broadcast tonight, and of course that'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff at Chieftain Stadium, and we'll be on the air at 6:50 for the pregame. So we'll definitely want you to join us for that. And there's a couple stories in local news. I think we'll go ahead and touch on them here. I didn't really make any notes on these stories, but I thought I would mention them. We've been, you know, sometimes we can go weeks at a time here on Rogue Talk without any really super significant story locally that we want to talk about. Just a lot of the usual goings-on around town. And, of course, we've talked a lot about the revolving door at the jail and all of those things. But, you know, most of those stories we kind of pass over. But a couple of things happening locally, not necessarily in Rogue River, but one of them definitely has to do with Rogue River. But a couple of things that went on this past week, and we're going to talk a little bit in the next segment. I want to talk a little bit about the shootings in Las Vegas and we've been hearing it all week, so I don't want to get into it too much because I'm sure everybody's tired of talking about it. But I think there's some important things that can come out of that and to kind of tie things together to you know, of course, you know, Rogue Talk is not a religious show, but I'm, you know, occasionally we'll talk about my Christian faith, but I think there's some lessons here. We talked about it a little bit this morning on Once for All. I hope a lot of you are tuning in to that show. Of course, that's a daily Monday through Friday show. Pastor Evan Gigline is the host of that show. And it's mostly a religious-based conversation, except on Fridays when I join him. And we talk about current events, and we still, he looks to kind of apply the Christian worldview to some of these stories. But we talk mostly about, the current events and how they apply to us in our lives and those kinds of things. And so we talked a little bit about the shooting in Las Vegas, and really we kind of focused on the initial statement from the president and how he, said things like, praying for one another, and that. The different ways that he kind of tied his faith into it, not really in a obnoxious, overly preachy kind of way, because he's not really capable of that. I believe he is a Christian, but I don't think he's particularly religious. And so it would be tough for him to even get real preachy when it comes to, sharing his religious beliefs. But he did use some language that leads back to the Bible and to Christian morality, and so we talked about some of that this morning. And so there are some definite things that we can take away from this, and kind of looking for solutions instead of constantly using these stories as a bludgeoning tool for whatever political cause you happen to want to use it for. I think there's a lot of takeaways and a lot of common ground that people can reach coming out of this tragedy. So we'll talk a little bit about that in the second segment. But let's get back to these couple of the local things going on. I don't know how many of you heard about this, but this past week we had kind of a really... I mean, it's sad and it's kind of crazy and weird all wrapped into one, where this is not a news report, so I'm not going to be doing the names and the times and whatever. We'll just kind of touch on this, but where a traveler had come into Callahan's Lodge, and they were apparently out of gas, which I guess has something to do with the story because of the events that unfolded, but you don't usually commit murder because you're out of gas. So there's a lot more to this. And of course, we probably don't have all of the details as to his mental state and to any other things like that. But he murdered a man at Callahan's. I believe the fellow was a cook. And he stole his car. So, again, there's a lot more to this. You don't have to kill somebody to steal a car either. So, I'm sure we'll learn more as the days go on and the investigation continues into, how this all transpired. But so he stole the car, and then he was apparently heading north, I believe. I don't even know. I didn't take any notes on this. I just wanted to kind of go over the some of the details. Anyhow, he stopped on the freeway on I-5, and he was shooting at cars. And so, again, there's a clear problem here that goes way beyond a guy running out of gas and stealing a car. There's some clear mental issues. But anyhow, one of the cars that he shot at, the driver realized what was happening, and he ran this guy down and he killed him, and good for him, except that, first of all, this person was forced to take a life to protect his own life and his child. He had his teenage son in the car with him. And so this is something they're going to live with forever. I mean, you purposely killed a man with your car. Now, in self-defense, and I'm not accusing them of anything. I would have done the exact same thing. I'm sure of it. But so just a weird, weird situation. And, it's just a it's a sad thing, and there has to be mental illness involved here. And I mean, anytime that you have people taking another person's life, especially under such, you know, trivial circumstances, there's clearly, you know, an issue there. And that's kind of one of the things I want to touch on when we talk about the Las Vegas shooting story, is that, you know, these things are really more of a, you know, a mental illness issue. I mean, the violence is a part of it, and it's something to be looked at, but really it's a matter of, you know, mental illness, mental stability. Sometimes it may even come down to the way we treat one another. You know, the social media age has made us a pretty divisive society, and it's hard to have, you know, conversations. I was just kind of going back and forth with a friend of mine on Facebook, and we don't agree on a lot, her and I, but we're friends. We go back to high school, and we're very respectful of one another when we argue some of the issues, and we take the other person's, not only we take their views into account, but we also are respectful of each other. So we take their, you know, we don't make it personal. We don't attack each other. And it's a very nice thing. And she had done one of these little online kind of games that you can do where you must answer. I don't do them, so I don't know exactly how it works. But, you know, maybe you answer a series of questions and they determine something about you. And so, you know, it was this thing about how many people don't like you or something. I don't know exactly how it went. And the number seemed particularly high. And so she was kind of lamenting it. And it's all kind of half-hearted, or, you know, just lighthearted, I should say. You know, it's just something fun to do, and nobody really takes it serious. But I found it interesting. You know, she was not too happy with the results of the thing, and again, it's very random, and obviously these things are meaningless. But I made a comment to her that, you know, well, I like you and we argue all the time, so, you know, I don't know about this. But then someone else came on and commented, and it's someone that I know who they are. I don't know them well, but they pop up in certain political conversations, and they like to drop these bombs from about 30,000 feet, and then they disappear and they don't really participate in the conversation. So of course he took a little swipe at me, and I'm not going to respond. I let it go. I prefer to be, you know, at the face-to-face level, even though obviously Facebook, you're not face-to-face literally, but I like to keep the conversations personal and keep them, you know, civil. And I'm not really one to drop, you know, bombs from 30,000 feet. But I found it interesting because it's kind of a look at our society and the way we do things, and how social media has allowed people to become, you know, these faceless and in some cases nameless, you know, entities that they feel like that they're, you know, a little untouchable. And then a lot of them, they'll have fake social media accounts so that they can go out there and be as obnoxious and bombastic as they can. And I mean, to his credit, he's using his own Facebook account for that. He's not hiding behind a different identity, but he likes to just throw things in there and kind of muddy the waters a little bit, but it's always a hit and run. And so I don't engage that because there's nothing to be gained from that. We don't, you know, I mean, I could take the high road. Well, I mean, I'm taking the high road by not engaging him. But if I wanted to, you know, I could say, you know, hey, I respect your beliefs. You don't have to agree with me, but I'm not going to call you names, and I'm not going to, you know, but it's not going to get anywhere. These people are, I don't know. They live fairly angry lives, I guess. It's hard to know what's in their mind and what's in their heart. But so many of them, they go right to the attack, and it's like, you know, we don't know each other. We don't, you know, I have no reason to attack you. I don't know you from Adam. So there's just no reason for me to, to come after someone. I mean, I'll defend myself, but in this case, it's like, you know, I'll let the friend who posted this initial post, I'll let her make the decision what she thinks, because she knows how I've interacted with her. And again, we're very different. I mean, as far as political beliefs and you know, we'll agree on something occasionally, but most of the time we're giving different viewpoints, and she knows, you know, that I try and be respectful and not drop bombs and just have a conversation and agree to disagree at times, but at least be, you know, civil and respectful to one another. So I stayed out of that one, but it just shows to me this, the less personal society is getting, the more we're being pulled apart. And, some people would attribute that to, less, a more agnostic society, so to speak. And there's some truth to that, of course, but I think people don't have to be tied to Christianity or Judaism or another religion to be good people and to be, moral people. I think it's easier because you have a little more of a solid guide to your morality if you are religious, but I don't think I know it's not 100% necessary to, to be good to one another without, having to pull out the Ten Commandments or something along those lines. So I kind of went on a little longer on that than I was expecting, but I think it's an important thing. I'm not going to be in certain circles. I won't be taken seriously on this because I am a conservative and I am a Christian, and in the media, that often makes me racist. It makes me homophobic. It makes me xenophobic and every other ism and phobic and this and that. And of course, most of us know that that's not the case. It's just a bludgeoning tool that people like to use to try and, make your views less legitimate, I guess. So I don't get too worked up about it, but it can be frustrating. Another situation on another Facebook post, and I generally only like to jump in if I know I can back up what I'm saying. I have some facts, or I have, at least a solid opinion that's well thought out. But recently there was some conversation about one of the recent things going on, and I think it was the NFL with the protests in the NFL, and I got tired of listening to the emotional arguments that don't have any facts to back them up. And so one particular person that kind of is in the one of the groups of friends that I tend to interact with on Facebook, and he was making some stupid claims. And again, he did one of these things. He drops the bomb in from 30,000 feet and thinks he's just going to hit and run and get away with it. And basically the comment that he made, there was a lot of conversation about the kneeling at the anthem and all the different aspects of that. And basically, and again, this is someone I don't know well, but I went to school with, and I only say this in context to what we were talking about. He's a white guy like I am, and he drops the little 30,000-foot bomb and says, well, it's easy for a bunch of white guys to say and he was referring to our conversation about the whole thing. Like this whole thing is about race to us. I don't really, In my case, I don't really care what the cause is. I don't think kneeling during our national anthem is a good way to get your message across, because you're alienating about half the people that you're trying to reach. So that has nothing to do with race, because I don't really care what the cause is. The cause in this case may be racially motivated or have a racial tone to it. But I don't care about that. That doesn't, it's the same as those of us that disagreed with President Obama. We didn't do it because he was a black man or a half black man or whatever it had, the breakdown happened to be. No, actually, people have different views than the left wing views of President Obama. So we can have different views that don't have anything to do with our race. And it applied in this case, but he dropped that little one, and he put the black little fist, you know, like the, you know, I'm assuming he's giving the kind of the I don't even know what they call it exactly, but the like the Black Panthers would do with the fist in the air. And it takes you back to the back in the Olympics when a couple of the American athletes gave that. You know, black power salute or whatever. I don't want to mischaracterize it, but I think most of you know what I'm talking about. And he dropped that in there. Well, I decided I'd had enough of these little drive-bys and the comments with no, you know, with no real substance. And so I turned the liberal tactics back on him, and boy, did I touch a nerve. It was really quite kind of interesting, because I accused him of racial appropriation, and because of the black fist, you know, representing the black power, and he got all wound up, and I just kind of wrote it out a little bit and let him say his piece. And I finally came back to him, and of course he made all these excuses how that's not appropriation. And actually, I agree with him. I don't buy this whole thing that if you're a, I don't know, let's say you're a mixed couple, you're a black man and an Asian woman, you're not allowed to open a Mexican restaurant because that's racial appropriation. Well, that's ridiculous. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I think most people realize that that's not, first of all, that's not appropriation. And second of all, there's nothing wrong with that. And all of us, clearly not all of us, but most of us, I think, would agree with that. So I don't consider what he did appropriation, but I've spent the last 8 years being referred to as a racist, either directly or indirectly, because I disagree with the views of our president, who happened to be black. So it was like, well, I'm going to turn the tables on him a little bit. I don't think that was appropriation. I don't know that I think it's appropriate either, but nonetheless, he made a bunch of excuses, and finally I let him go through all of these contortions he had to go through to try and justify what he was saying and trying to, you know, minimize what I was saying. And I finally said, dude, you you posted a black fist and you're a white guy. If you don't call that appropriation, I don't know what is. Now, again, I really don't think it is, but it was kind of refreshing, and I don't usually like to do it, but it was like, I'm going to take their tactics. I'm going to turn them around. and it was very, I mean, on my part, at least for what I was trying to accomplish, it was very successful. I'm not going to make a habit of it, because I don't really like to be that way. But it was a fun experiment, and it really did work out the way I expected it to. But again, it just gets back to the fact that we need to treat each other better. I mean, that's what a lot of this all comes down to. It's not about guns. It's not about race. It's not about, you know, gender, religion. Those things get involved, of course. And in some cases, they have a heavy influence on some of these events. But really, let's just treat one another better. Let's just be more civil to one another. And, you know, I That's all I can say about that. I didn't get to these other news stories. We'll get to those on the other side of the break, but I need to take a break here. I'm way over time, so we will take a break and be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmaned the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with Major League Baseball playoff action. The ALDS got underway last night. Trevor Bauer started for the Indians over Cy Young candidate Corey Kluber in Game 1 against the Yankees and helped Cleveland to a 4-0 victory. Bauer was outstanding over 6 2/3, holding New York to a pair of hits and one walk while striking out 8. He says,
"You have a plan going in. You have to go out there and try to execute it. They obviously have a very dangerous lineup. So, again, it was down to game planning. I think the staff did a tremendous job coming up with a game plan. Roberto called a heck of a game. I executed well, got away with some pitches. So, I had some fortune on my side."
The series remains in Cleveland for Game 2 today. Jose Altuve banged out 3 solo shots to support Justin Verlander as Houston rolled to an 8-2 win over at Boston at Minute Maid Park. Game number 2 will be taking place today in Houston. This is SRN Sports. NFL Thursday Night Football, a good night for quarterback Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, a bad night for Tampa Bay kicker Nick Folk. Brady passed for 303 yards and a touchdown as the Pats pulled out a 19-14 win over the Buccaneers. Folk missed 3 field goals, including a 31-yarder that would have cut a 9-point deficit to 6 in the closing minutes. He missed 2 field goals and an extra point before beating the Giants on a last-second kick last weekend. National Hockey League, they are back. Here's what happened yesterday. It was Boston over Nashville 4-3. The Canadiens edged Buffalo 3-2 in the shootout. Colorado 4, Rangers 2. Capitals over Ottawa 5-4 in the shootout. Detroit 4, Minnesota 2. It was the Blackhawks bashing the Penguins 10-1. Anaheim 5, Arizona 4. The Kings shut out the Flyers by 2-0 score. AP Top 25 College Football, number 24 NC State upset number 17 Louisville. This is SRN Sports.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And we're talking about some of the things in the news, both nationally and locally, and at the end of the show we'll talk about Chieftain Sports in the final segment, and we'll also be talking to Cameron Smith, the Rogue Talk mascot, otherwise known as my son, and he's going to tell us what's been going on with the Rogue River Chieftain Superfans, and he's a big part of that. Helps with a lot of the events they're doing. In fact, he'll be running one of their events tonight at the football game, so we'll ask him about that. But we've been talking about some of the news stories, and another news story I wanted to touch on briefly that, I'm not going to get into too much, and we don't know enough about this to say too much about it. But in this week's Rogue River Press, the Rogue River Police Department had recently brought on a canine unit. And they have an officer assigned to the canine, of course. And we had actually hoped to get them into studio at some point and meet the canine and meet the officer. That's not going to happen at this point. Unfortunately, Officer Staller has been arrested on a domestic violence or domestic abuse situation. And again, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. I'm not making any judgments here. I'm just reading a news story. And he was arrested without incident. This was in Medford. And so we'll be keeping an eye on that to see how things go. And of course, in these situations where you have a police officer being charged with a crime, the prosecutor will be coming in from another jurisdiction to try the case or to oversee the case. I mean, it may never go to trial. We don't know yet. This is just, you know, this is just early on in the investigation and in to see, you know, what's going to happen. The initial charges were fourth degree domestic violence and first degree harassment. And again, we don't have all the facts yet. The Medford police will be investigating and the Douglas County District Attorney's Office will be prosecuting the case if it in fact goes to trial. But they will be making those assessments. And so it's, you know, not a good day for the police department. And, you know, hopefully everything is resolved in a manner that meets the, you know, what has happened here or what hasn't happened. We don't know all the details, and we'll let the law enforcement take care of that. But a little disappointing story. And if in fact that, you know, he is convicted of a crime, and we'll, you know, we will share that here, but we don't take any, you know, any particular pleasure in these kinds of stories. It's a tough thing, and we'll let you know what's going to happen with the canine unit as that goes forward, because of course they would have to train another officer to handle the canine. And so we'll keep our eyes on that, because I really wanted to get them in here, and obviously we'll have to postpone that. And most likely it'll be with a different officer when we do get to talk to them. So that was another story I wanted to talk about. And I don't want to run out of time before I remember to do this, so let's take care of this right now. I had mentioned we had hoped to talk to someone from the Rogue River Fire District. Unfortunately, we couldn't match our schedules up and make that happen, but I wanted to promote this event. Tomorrow is the Rogue River Fire District Community Fair, and this is being billed as a festival for the whole family. It'll be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and free admission. And I'm going to be honest with you, I believe this is at the fire station. You may want to double check with them and give them a call, make sure, because the flyer doesn't actually tell me where it was, and I didn't even think to ask him today when I got to talk to them over there. But I believe they do this right at the fire station. This is not the first year they've done this, and I'm reasonably sure that's where it is, but you may want to give them a call over there and double check. But it's tomorrow. There'll be free food, free admission. There will be a carnival for the kids. At 10 a.m., a Mercy Flights helicopter will be there. So if you want to see the helicopter, you want to get there right at 10 when they start. But it will go on until 3 o'clock, and it sounds like a really good, fun family event, and a good way to you know, learn more about, you know, what's going on at the fire with the fire department, what things they're involved in community wide. You know, there's all different aspects of community life that are tied to our first responders, our fire department, our police department, the ambulance, and all of that. And so you probably could learn a lot about how that all works. There'll be you know, plenty of people there from the fire department. They've had some other aspects in years past that there's some different different things that they've done, they're not doing this year, and other stuff like that. But so if you've been to this before, it's still should be a good thing to go to and kind of learn what's going on around the community and some fun for the kids. I mean, you know, plenty of free food and a carnival. Should be a great time. And hopefully next year when the community fair comes around again, we'll get another interview with them to talk a little bit more about everything that's going on. But like I said, we just couldn't make the schedules mesh, and that's okay. And we'll try again next year. But definitely get on out there tomorrow once again from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So I didn't want to miss talking about that. And I think I took a little more time talking about some of the other stuff, so I don't want to talk too much about this most recent tragedy in Las Vegas. But there's a lot of reminders in this from what I was talking about in the first segment about trying to kind of rise above the fray of all of the finger pointing and the knee jerking and all of the things that go on with this kind of a tragedy. And, you know, look at the things that we can agree with. I mean, I had a friend that was making an angry response to people, you know, hashtag, pray for Vegas or that. And those posts were making her angry. And I understand that, you know, we want to do more than just a hashtag, and I get that. But when it comes to praying for a tragedy like this, we're not praying that we can stop these things. I mean, we do pray to, you know, that we don't want these things to happen. But ultimately, everybody has free agency or free choice, and we don't have an ability to control other people in any significant way. And we can do things to help people if people have mental issues. Of course, we could do a much better job in this country of addressing mental health and even getting people away from some of the drugs that they use to help or that are supposed to help with those issues. And I think that some of those get overused. And there's been some significant side effects to some of those drugs that, you know, could lead to an incident like this, but it's not the only thing. There's a lot of things that have to fall into place for someone to be so distraught or so mentally ill or so angry that they would carry out something like this. But we can find the places where we can agree on things and we can, and, you know, try and make things better. And I think mental health is definitely one of those places where, you know, people can agree that we need to do more and figure out what we can do, what is doing more. And even with the gun control issue, I'm a pretty staunch Second Amendment supporter, but, you know, these, I believe they call them bump stocks that can turn a semi-automatic rifle into an automatic, but it makes it operate similar to an automatic. There's been a lot of discussion. Well, we don't want to give away anything on the Second Amendment and on one side and on the other side. You know, we have to do 10 other things too. I don't have a problem with banning those. It goes against the spirit of the law. We banned automatic weapons back in the 80s with very few exceptions to that law. And this goes against the spirit of that law. So, I don't have a problem with that. I think even the NRA is getting behind banning those bump stocks. So, you know, we need to find the places where we agree and work together and stop with the name calling. And we do need to pray. If you're Christian, pray for the survivors of this. Pray for their families and the families of the victims, that they'll have some comfort. And, you know, I don't know how much good it does to pray that these things don't happen, because they're going to happen. But you know, we can pray for the people that need our prayers, and I don't have a problem with that, and I don't know why anyone would have the problem with that. It doesn't do anything to you physically if you don't believe, and it, you know, it's sort of trying to prove a negative. It's kind of futile. And if people want to pray for people, nobody should be angry about that. But anyhow, hopefully we can get past these things and we can improve our society based on what we're seeing happening. And so I'm going to take another break here. And when we come back, we'll try and get the Rogue Talk mascot on the line. And we'll also talk about some Chieftain sports. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Federal law enforcement officials say they disrupted a plot to carry out terrorist attacks at New York City locations, including concert venues, subway stations, and Times Square. Prosecutors announced today that three men based in Canada, Pakistan, and the Philippines had conspired to carry out terror attacks in the summer of 2016 in the name of the Islamic State. Prosecutors say 19-year-old Abdul Rahman El Banasawi bought materials to make a bomb but was arrested after traveling to New Jersey in May of 2016. He pleaded guilty later that year, but the case was sealed while the investigation continued. 19-year-old U.S. citizen Tala Haroon was arrested in Pakistan in 2016. 37-year-old Russell Salek was arrested in the Philippines in April. It's not clear if they have attorneys. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 2 points. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting on 100,000 milliwatts.
Don't try this at home.
Ow. 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The House has passed a $4.1 trillion budget plan that promises deep cuts to social programs. The non-binding budget's chief purpose is to set the stage for a tax overhaul plan likely to add around $1.5 trillion to the deficit over the coming decade. The tax overhaul is the party's top political priority, as well as a longtime policy dream of key leaders like Speaker Paul Ryan. Payday and auto title lenders will have to adhere to stricter rules that could significantly curtail their business under rules just finalized by a federal regulator. But the first nationwide regulation of the industry is still likely to face resistance from Congress. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained over 113 points with business.
Back to Rogue Talk, and we don't have a ton of time left, so I'm going to go right to the Rogue Talk mascot, Cameron Smith, and he should be joining us on the line right here. Cameron, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason I wanted to talk to you today, I know you're heavily involved with the Rogue River Chieftain Superfans. Tell us what Superfan is about, and then you had an event last night at the volleyball game, and you've got another thing going at the football game. So tell us what Superfan is, and then tell us about those two things and some of the other stuff that you've been doing.
So Superfan is like our student section, fan section
Okay.
of students. And what what my goal, I guess, is to get a lot of majority of our students at our school to come to the game, and we have themes like last night was at the volleyball game was Sports Center night, and so we had our fans wear Chieftain gear, and me, Riley Valley, had worn suits as if we were Sports Center analysts or anchors. And so what I do is I made up a calendar, and over the summer with our ASB president in leadership and our ASB vice president, and we made up a calendar of different themes. There's going to be a jungle night coming up, volleyball next week, all sorts of themes that we picked out for this, for fall sports, and then I'll make a calendar for winter, and we haven't figured out what spring is yet.
Okay, so tonight you've at the football game. You've been doing this for a few weeks, I hadn't had a chance to talk about it on the air, but you've got a big contest going tonight. The field goal kicking contest, right?
Mm-hmm. And what we do is we have a lot of leftover candy from events, and so I get a bowl of candy and get as many of our fans to come out, kick a field goal, get some candy. We've been doing it. We've done it at both home games we've had.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a way to bring some fun for the fans and just hope to bring more fans to come to the game.
Sure. So... okay, well, so we want to promote that for sure, that the super fans, and I can tell you as someone who's been in the district for a long, long time, I can tell all the listeners that the super fans have been kind of an on-again, off-again thing, but the last couple of years it's been on again, and it's great to see that school spirit, and... I forgot to turn the ringer off on my phone, and the texts are rolling in. You're a popular guest on this show, I got to tell you. The texts are coming in fast and furious. So you know, the super fan thing is great to see. It's also fun to see the band out there or the drum line out there, and the booster club has been doing a lot more. So the school spirit is really on the rise, and it's kind of fun to watch. And so I'm glad you've been a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep you on the line while we talk about some of the sports coming up, and let's go to a sport you're pretty familiar with, the boys soccer team. Unfortunately, the last couple of games have been losses for the team, a 9-0 loss against Cascade Christian. Then you lost Wednesday night a kind of a heartbreaker 2-0 against Canyonville Christian. But then you're looking to maybe turn things around. You play tomorrow at 1:00. Who are you taking on tomorrow?
Pacific.
So
high school.
Yeah, so Pacific, and I gotta turn this ringer off. So hoping to bounce back against Pacific tomorrow, and then you got something else going tomorrow. While I'm looking up a couple more of the results here for the other sports. What do you got going tomorrow morning?
I have it is Hidden Valley's Invitational for cross country at our Valley of the Rogue State Park.
Okay. So cross country in the morning, soccer at 1:00. You got a busy day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. and then there's the girls have a soccer game at 10 a.m. against Brookings Harbor JV.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay, so at home we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you are a soccer fan or you're a Chieftain fan, get out to Beck Field. The girls play in the morning at you said 10:30?
10 a.m.
10 a.m., and then the boys at 1:00, and those will both be at Beck Field. And then you guys play again at home on Monday against St. Mary's. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then it looks like the girls will play again on Wednesday, but they will travel to Lakeview for a 4:30 game. So you were at the volleyball last night with your Sports Center super fan. How did the volleyball team do last night?
They put up a good fight. They lost, but it was a good fight. It definitely was. It got better in the third set.
Mm-hmm.
The first two, they were struggling, and then the third set was a really close set.
Yeah, it was
they
just
lost, but it was a good game.
Yeah, I was just bringing that up, and they lost 25-16 and 25-11, which is not horrible.
No.
But then they lost the third set 25-22, so they came back strong at the end. And again, this is against St. Mary's, who is, you know, other than maybe Cascade, is going to be one of the tougher teams that we take on. So a good effort from the volleyball girls last night. Unfortunately, they came up on the losing end. And they will travel to IV on Tuesday, and then also on Thursday they will host Lost River. So I guess we'll have another super fan night next Thursday.
And that's Jungle Night.
Jungle Night, that's right. That's what you said. And so that was what's going on with the volleyball. We're almost out of time, but and then the football team, of course. And I don't have the score in front of me, but we know the football team, they won last week, bounced back from that tough loss at Gold Beach, and they beat Crow, and Crow will get another shot at us. We'll head to Crow in a week from today, but tonight the Chieftains will be hosting their game against Bonanza.
And we have a pink out.
And it's a pink out. I knew there was something I was missing that you had told me. So along with the field goal kicking competition during the halftime, we also are having a pink out. So if you have pink attire that you can wear to tonight's game, throw on the pink. And, of course, being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, that's a good choice, the pink out. And so come out and support your Chieftains tonight. And so is there anything else you wanted to touch on, Cameron?
Nope, we covered them all.
We covered them all. So, well, we're happy to have you back on the show, and we'll try and do this a little more often. Maybe we'll pick some college games again. We're just not going to have time to do that today, but I really wanted to hear what was going on with the super fans, and I know you've been a big part of that. And you got a big day tomorrow, a couple of – Hopefully you don't wear yourself out.
Yeah, I hope not either. I don't wear myself out. It's gonna be a long day.
It's gonna be a tough day for sure. But I mentioned at the top of the show that I'm gonna be rushing out of here to go try and finish a car purchase. And you don't have any thoughts on that, do you?
No.
Yeah, that's probably a good choice to not comment on that. Maybe you could counsel Cam Newton about not commenting on certain things.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Cameron, for coming on the show today. We'll see you tonight at the football game, and we'll tell everybody to get out to the game tonight. And again, as I mentioned, we'll have a new color announcer for tonight's game, so you can meet him tonight. And thanks again, Cameron, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And everybody else, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.